I do have a message this morning, and the title just came to me now. It's Push Past Your Pain Into the Promise. Push past your pain into the promise. Because like we were singing, he's a promise keeper. You know, and as mothers, we go through a lot of pain, and I'm going to talk about that this morning. So first of all, I want to just give everyone a Mother's Day greeting. So to all the mothers, grandmothers, great-grandmothers, stepmothers, spiritual mothers, foster mothers, and aunties. I love that word, aunties. You know, you aunties, actually, I just learned what aunties are. I thought they were always aunts, like that's your aunt. But aunties are actually mentors in the First Nations community, right? Am I right? They're like mentors. They're like your cool big sister who helps you and blesses you. So, you know, we need our aunties. And we have several aunties here at the church, too. So we appreciate them because they are choosing to mentor the next generation. So all the best to all the mothers this morning, and thank you so much for coming, because I know, you know, some of you, it's hard. Mother's Day, you feel torn because maybe your children aren't here or don't come here, and you feel like you want to be with your church family, you need to be ministered to, so you have to make a choice. So I know some of you made a hard choice this morning, but thank you so much for being here. And Miss Bev is here from Darylton, Faith City Church. Cheryl, let's give Miss Bev a good hand. So good to see you. Bless you. And we have a special gift for all the mothers and all the aforementioned mothers. If you feel you are a mother, you're a mentoring mother, then please pick up a gift before you leave today. And this gift is actually a very powerful book that I'd like you to read. And even if you're not going through something that's in this book, I mean, this book talks about a lot of hard-hitting subjects. It talks about, you know, the abuse that women suffer. It talks about women who have been ill, women who have been sick, you know, and how Jesus ministered to these different women. So it is a book by T.D. Jakes. He doesn't pull any punches. He tells it like it is, honestly. And it's called Woman, Thou Art Loosed. So we want you to have that book before you leave today, and read it and use it as a ministry tool to minister and to bless another woman, or give it to another woman when you've read it. So it is a powerful book. So I've been a mother for more than half my life now. I was thinking, yeah, it's been a while. So, you know, you're being a mother, it becomes your identity. And, you know, we have adult children now, so it's a little bit different, but I'm still kind of going through that phase where, okay, who am I besides a mother? And of course, we are all children of God first, right? But once you're a mother, you never stop being a mother, right? Even after your children leave home, they never leave your heart. And even this morning, I mean, it wasn't far into the morning that I'm thinking about my kids, right? Like, they're just always there. They're always close to your heart. So I'm going to talk about a couple of things this morning about being a mother. And this isn't necessarily a fluffy message. You know, I had a friend of ours, we're in a group, and she actually lives in Hawaii, and she said, you know what, I don't really like to go to Mother's Day church because it's always about Proverbs 31 woman, you know, and it's always about, you know, Ruth and her faithfulness. And she says, and I just feel like I'm going through a hard time with my adult kids right now, and I just feel like I don't want to hear that right now. So this is kind of a message for everybody, and fathers, men, don't stop listening as well, because you can get something out of this as well. So really, this message was kind of birthed in my heart from last week. Pastor taught a message called To Believe a Lie. And after, in that service, I was like starting to jot down notes, and the Lord was ministering a message to me, and I thought I would share it this morning. And it is about two mothers in the Bible. And the first one is, and also what they believed and how what they believed impacted their families and impacted their own lives and even impacted our lives today, are the future of the human race. So, of course, the first mother we're talking about is Eve. She is the mother of all living, so Adam named her that, and all of our roots go back to her. She is our original mother. So I'm going to read a few scriptures. First of all, let's read Genesis 1, 27, New King James, and I'll read all of these from the New King James. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So Eve was in God's image, of course, as well. And verse 28 said, so God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. So they had a mission, and they were partners, Adam and Eve, and they were blessed. So if you think of it, Eve had the perfect environment. She had a perfect relationship, a connection with her creator God. What else could she need? As I said before, I've said this joke before, Eve was the only woman who could legitimately say, I have nothing to wear. So, did anyone feel that way this morning? Oh, what am I going to wear? I'm still kind of in my winter, half spring, like, oh my goodness. But Eve legitimately was clothed. I believe she was clothed in the glory of God. So she had the great outfit, a great outfit. But what else could she need? She's in this perfect environment, you know, perfect, right from the hand of God. God built her. You know, when you say she was built by God himself. He formed her by his hand. He took Adam's rib and just made this beautiful creature. So she was awesome, beautiful environment. What could she need? Well, she had an attack of what we call FOMO. You guys know what FOMO is? If you know what FOMO is, raise your hand. Okay, everyone, young people know what FOMO is. So FOMO is fear of missing out. Fear of missing out. So it's kind of a term that people use. And I think it's a real thing. FOMO is a real thing because this is what the devil used on Eve. Hey, Eve, you're missing out. God's holding out on you. You know, yes, you're in a perfect environment. You have a perfect relationship with God, but you are missing out, girl. And so she had an attack of FOMO. And notice also that she was alone when she had this attack. So that says something to us as women, as mothers. You know, when we're alone listening to the devil's lies, that's when we can really fall for it. So if you start hearing those lies, that's where you need to pick up the phono and talk to someone, a sponsor or someone mature or a mentor and say, hey, listen, you know, I'm getting these thoughts. Can we pray together? You know, so that was just something that really jumped out at me. Eve was alone. Adam wasn't there, you know, God wasn't there. God was obviously watching, but she was alone in the garden when this happened, when she had this attack of FOMO, fear of missing out. So she fell for the devil's deception and lies. She felt she was missing out. God was holding out on her, and her trust was shaken, and she fell for those lies. So in 1 John 2:16, it says, you know, to be aware of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So that really is what happened to Eve in this scenario. And Genesis 3:1 says, now the serpent was more cunning and said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall eat of every tree of the garden? You shall not eat of every tree of the garden? So, I mean, here she had every tree except the one, right? But what does she want now? The one that she's not supposed to. She said in her own words, we can't even touch it. You know, she went even further than what God told them to do, not to do. But of course, fear of missing out, and then more lies with some truth. The devil says, you will not surely die. Well, it's true. They didn't die physically immediately, but they died spiritually, right? And then verse 5 is a real key. He says, your eyes will be opened. You will know good and evil. So that there's some truth in that too. Eve and Adam did know evil after this incident. So she ate and Adam ate, and it was true. Their eyes were open. They did know good and evil, and there was much evil to come. Of course, we know the story of what happened in her family. But Genesis 3:16, this is what God told Eve. He said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. So I believe there is a pain that comes with being a mother. Not just, I'm not just talking during the delivery, but there is a pain that mothers experience throughout their life of being a mother. And we'll talk about some of those pains in a moment. So Eve would know the pain and sorrow. Her eyes were opened. She saw evil, and she experienced it in her own family. In fact, the first murder that happened in the human race happened in the first family, to the firstborn. With the firstborn. So Cain, her firstborn son, kills Abel, her secondborn son. So, I mean, what a tragedy. She saw this happen in her own family. So the pain became very evident to her in her own life. And because she received and believed the wrong message, she was and was deceived, sin entered in, and sin destroyed her family and her some of her children. You know, I mean, thankfully, there was a resurgent of hope, and they had another child, and of course, you know, Seth came on, and he was the to carry the lineage all the way up to Jesus. But it was a difficult time, and so we see that motherhood is not easy, right? And it wasn't easy from the start. So let's look as a contrast, let's look at Mary, the mother of Jesus. So she believed a messenger as well. So she had a messenger come to her. It was an angel, but it was the right message to believe. And the angel came to her with a message that she would carry and birth God's son. So let's look at Luke 1:38. And this was her response. And you know what? This is a powerful response that we can have to anything that God promises us in our lives. So she said, behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. So that is so powerful. Let it be to me according to your word. So she not only believed the word, but she received it, and she dedicated herself to follow that word, to accept that word. And, you know, she wasn't sure either. She asked questions. She said, well, how can this be? How can this happen? You know, and the Lord gave her answers that, you know, after she had the answer, she felt that she could receive that. But even though Mary was following God's will, was her life easy? No, she went through a lot. In fact, right after the dedication of Jesus at the temple, Simeon, who was an elder, gave her this warning, almost like a prophetic word for her. So let's look at Luke 2:35. And the part I want to read is, yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also. You know, he's telling them, you know, this the Israel's going to rise and fall on this baby, and it's all these awesome things are going to happen. But, oh, by the way, a sword will pierce through your soul, Mary. And it's like, wow, you know, here she is. She's obeying God. She's doing everything God has asked her to do to birth this child now and now to raise this child. But yet, wow. Pierce through my soul. Pierce means to shatter or to break. So Mary's basically, her heart broke with, you know, raising Jesus. I mean, that was a huge task, you know, and there's no other job like being a mother on the earth. I mean, there's no other job like it. I think it's the hardest job, but it's also the most rewarding job. But it's also a job you're not meant to do alone. And that's why, you know, God sent Holy Spirit to be with us, to strengthen us, to give us wisdom. You know, we're not doing this job alone, so don't do it alone. But Mary as well, she had to depend on God. I mean, she had to eventually, you know, she even lost Jesus at one point. Did you know that? How many of you have ever been like in a grocery store or in a store and then you look around and your little toddler or your little kid's gone? Raise your hand if that's ever been you. Lots of us. So don't feel bad, because what did you probably think in that immediate moment? Oh, I'm a terrible parent. I lost my kid. Where's my kid? And just panic overtakes you, right? And you're running like a mad woman through the store and trying to look for this kid, and you know, here she or he comes holding the hand of the security guard, and you know, you're like, oh, so relieved but so embarrassed, and just all this stuff can happen, right? Well, Mary and Joseph also lost Jesus. He was 12 years old, and he decided, wow, I like the temple. I'm just going to hang out here. So he stayed behind, and they weren't just in the grocery store. They were a day's journey away from the city when they realized, hey, I thought Jesus was with his cousins. No, is he with the aunties? No, he's not with the aunties. Is he with his friends? No, he's not with his friends. Jesus was gone. Could you imagine the feeling that Mary had? What if he fell into a ditch? What if raiders took him to Egypt like Joseph? You know, I can imagine all the panic that she must have had. And then when they went back to Jerusalem, looked all around, they found him in the temple, and he's like, did you not know that I needed to be in my father's house? And that puzzled them. They could not figure that out. Anyone else cannot figure out their kid. It's like, you are so weird. You do weird things. I don't understand. Why are you doing this? Don't ask your kid why. Why did you do that? That's a dumb question I learned over the years. You just don't ask why. Because kids are kids, immature, silly, adventurous, risk takers. So they do all kinds of things. So, I mean, they didn't understand Jesus, you know, and you would have thought, you know, Mary knew everything, but she didn't know. She didn't know she had lost Jesus. She didn't know he had stayed behind. She didn't know, you know, he was already starting to fulfill his calling. And you know what? That calling came with so many things. I mean, there was a time when Mary and the brothers went to go find Jesus, and he was teaching, and they were waiting outside. They couldn't even get in to see Jesus. Well, why weren't they in there listening to the teachings of Jesus? They were just kind of hanging around saying, Jesus, come home. You need to come home. Do your laundry. You haven't come home for a while, you know. But Jesus was there teaching, and he said, when they told him, hey, Jesus, your mother, your brothers are outside, what did Jesus say? He said, no, these are my mother and brothers, the ones that listen to and keep and do the word of God. So kind of a jab, right, towards his family. So, you know, you could see how the things in Mary's heart might have been starting to get pierced and starting to get hurt. But of course, the ultimate hurt was when she had to witness her loving son, who was innocent, who was pure, to be ridiculed, rejected, beaten, bullied. I mean, I think that's the worst, seeing your kid be bullied and rejected and pushed out of a friend group, or, you know, just the pain that we see in our children's eyes and when they're experiencing, and we can't do anything. We just stand by, and they have to go through it. They have to learn through it. They have to grow through it. But finally, to see him executed in the most painful and cruel manner. And, you know, this is something that really touches my heart. When Jesus was on the cross, he cried out to his mother and to John. So let's put this scripture up, John 19, 25 to 27. This is such a powerful, just the heart of Jesus here. You know, he's going through his own pain, and he's going through his own suffering. He's carrying the whole suffering of the world, the whole sin of the world on his shoulders, literally. And he said in John 19, 25, now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother. And so she was there. She was there witnessing all of this. Like, I can't imagine. And his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Chopas, and Mary Magdalene. So those are the Marys. Next. When Jesus therefore saw his mother, he looked down from the cross in the middle of his pain and his blood and tears. And he saw her. And he said, and the disciple whom he loved standing by, of course, that was John, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. So he took care of his mother, even in those last dying moments. He knew his mother was going to be taken care of, and that John was going to basically be her son. I mean, what a powerful verse. I think, is there one more? I think that's it. Yeah, so he said to his disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. So he basically adopted Mary as his own mother, you know, took care of them. Back in the Bible days, you know, you would take care of your elders, and they would live with you, your elderly mother. Joseph was gone at this time, so she was a widow. So just such a powerful time. And, you know, even though it was God's will for her child, Mary must have experienced such excruciating pain during this time. The sword that pierced Jesus definitely pierced Mary's own soul. But you know what? God's the healer of the brokenhearted. And she had to look for that promise. Maybe she didn't even see it at the time, but the promise was coming, and she had to look through that pain. So God told Eve that there would be pain in childbearing, right? And I believe there is pain, not only in the birth process, but throughout our lives as we experience the sorrows of our children. And like I said, perhaps they're bullied, excluded, fail at school, suffer sickness or mental health, failed relationships, financial struggles. I mean, our kids go through a lot of different things. And you know what? We suffer alongside with them. Our soul is pierced. Have you ever said as a mother, oh, I wish I could just take their pain, you know, because it's so painful to see them going through their own pain. But as mothers, we need to get past the pain. So T.D. Jakes says in his book, push past the pain to receive the promise. And I really like that. That was a real, just set me free because, you know, I've had pain in my own life with my children, you know, not following God the way I thought they should, maybe not living by the standards that we would want them to live by or following the call of God in their lives. So that pains us, especially as Christian mothers, when we prayed for them since, you know, they've been in the womb, basically. But when you go through that, don't stay in the pain. Don't stay in the pain. You know, there's a scripture, I think it's in Romans, it said, the pain of childbirth is forgotten when you hold the baby in your arms, right? So a mother forgets. Oh, yeah, there's the joy, right? So I like what T.D. Jakes says, don't leave the baby on the table. Like, take, you know, leave your pain, but take the baby. And I think that really spoke to me, too, about your vision, your plan for your life. You know, sometimes you have to birth things out. Like, all of us have to birth things out. You know, maybe it's a following God's plan for your life, something that he's speaking to you about. So there is that pain of going through that process, right? But that promise is coming, and you have to leave the pain and go for the promise. So after Mary went through the pain, she saw the fulfillment of the promise. She was actually in the upper room receiving the Holy Spirit, you know, so she was not, she didn't stay there. She didn't stay as a grieving mother or grieving, you know, woman, but she went forward with that promise and she became a minister of the gospel. So like us, we need to look forward. We look towards and stand on those promises. There's so many promises in God's word for our children. You know, the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. The house of the righteous shall stand. Your children shall be saved, you and your household, says in the book of Acts. So we can stand for their salvation, their healing, their freedom, and their blessing. So that's a job that you never graduate from. Praying and standing for your children, right, Miss Grace? She's a veteran there. She's standing and praying and the mumus and you know, everyone who's been around here for a while know that is your commission to keep praying and keep standing for your children. And I really like this promise that Peter said on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2:39, if we can put that up, Acts 2:39. Said, for the promise is to you and to your children. And that really spoke to me this morning. Wow, the promise is to you and your children. The next generation has that promise as well. And to all who are afar off. So maybe your children are afar off right now, but the promise is still for them. As many as the Lord will call. So the Lord is calling all of us. The Lord wants all of us. There's not one person that he's rejected. There's not one person that's too bad, you know, or failed too much. He is calling them all. He is drawing them all to himself. So moms, I want to encourage you to be strong in the spirit and remember that God loves your children more than you love them. So even as much as you love them, as much as you hurt for them, as much as you pray for them, God loves them more than you do. And you know what? He's given us something called free will, which I don't like sometimes. It's like, no, you do my will. My will is good. You do my will. No. God's given us all that gift of free will. It's really a gift because he wants our children to love him the way they want to and when they're ready to, right? So it's no one can force them, no one can pressure them. Now, when they're young and you have authority, you bring them to church and you plant the word. You know, it's like the suitcase is open, right? So put as much, pack as much into the suitcase when they're young as you can, right? But then there's a time when that suitcase closes and they walk out the door, and that's what they're taking with them. And the word of God will never return void, you know, and the way you raise them, they will come back to it, the proverb said. So those are really important things. And we've heard so many testimonies of young people who kind of went astray, did their own thing. And then God just started drawing them because they were never satisfied, because there's that hole in our heart, right, that only Jesus can fill. So I just want to encourage you moms today to be strong. Remember, God loves your children more than you can ever love them, and he has a plan for them, and he will call them, whether they're near or far, because that is the promise of God. So, you know, if you have pain, you can get past it. You know, you may feel that pain. You may have tears today. Mother's Day may be a hard day for you. But you know what? Look to the Lord and be grateful that he gave you that opportunity to be a mother. I mean, to bring forth life into this world. It's just amazing, an amazing gift that you've been able to give, because you could have decided not to, right? But yet you did. And even if you didn't raise your child, you gave them life. And that's the greatest gift that anyone can give you. And Jesus, you know, Mary said yes, and Jesus was able to come into the earth. And, you know, Jesus came through a woman. She came through a mother. Isn't that amazing? God didn't just plop him on the earth. Here he is, you know, another Adam. He was called the second Adam. Adam wasn't birthed, but the second Adam was. So that's how precious God sees women and mothers, that he would just do that. And always remind us that, you know, that is a gift. Life is a gift. Well, bless you all. I'm going to turn this over to Pastor now. We said we would tag team today because I just had a brief message, but it probably took most of the time anyway. But anyway, thank you for listening.
Pretty apropos, since we talked about Mad Dog, we're going to tag team. We're going to have an early Father's Day message. I'm just going to take the next 10 minutes or so here just to remind you about some promises. You know, the devil is a liar. He likes to tell you things that are not true. We talked about that last week, to believe a lie. And we can hang on to the promises of God. And over in Hebrews 10:23 says, "Let us hold tightly without wavering the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promises." And I don't know if you ever counted how many promises are in the Bible, but there's so many promises in the Bible. So if you can find a promise and stand on it, you got something to stand on. It's a foundation. The promises of God are a strong foundation. And when God gives you something to do in life, whether it's build a business, a ministry, whether it's build a family, whether you're building a new career, you know, the devil, the Bible says he comes to steal. John 10:10, he comes to steal and to kill and destroy. I heard something last week that said that the devil, if you can prevent him from trying to steal, let's say steal your dream, the Bible says that he comes right after the word is sown in your heart to steal that word that's been planted in your heart. And so the only way we can keep that in our heart, that word planted in your heart, is to continue to meditate on the word of God. And so holding tightly to the promises of God is something that we need to learn. We don't turn it over because you have problems. You don't just give up because, oh, I've had this too long. There's always hope in God. And I think about time and time again, the enemy would attack the Israelites. And God promised them the you know, the Canaan land, the good land, the land of plenty, the land of abundance. And that, you know, he came and tried to steal from them. And each time he attacked even their fortified cities, which they built. So now they're on land, and maybe perhaps you've gone a long way and you've planted some things, and you're in it. All of a sudden you're getting hit and you're getting attacked. And so this is the time you hold tightly to the promises of God. And I don't know what you're going through today, but I wanted to give mothers a couple of scriptures here that I was thinking about. I'm going to read the Good News translation. Jeremiah 31:17. And the Bible says that when Moses left Egypt, the devil was trying to bargain with him. Okay, you guys can go, but you can't take your children. He said, no, we're going to have to take our children. And so there was a fight back and forth. And God would not let those children go. And so there was more conflict going on there. And the devil would not give up. How many people know the devil will not give up in your life? He's going to come back to you. Just when you think you got away for a long time, there's something else happens. So you have to stand against the enemy. And then he always tells you when he attacks you again that this is the last time. God delivered you last time, but this time, this is it for you, you know. And I remember hearing a story Brother Hagin gave, and he had heart symptoms. You know, he was in bed when he was, I believe he was 15 to 17, just, I don't know, 17 months, 18 months. Almost 2 years. So he's in bed and he's dying. And the doctors, all the medical doctors said, there's no hope for you. Gone to the great doctors in that day there. And they were trying to send him to the Mayo Clinic. But he said, there's nothing we can do for you. Even if we cured your blood condition, you have a really bad heart condition that could never be healed. And if you heal that, you got this other condition. And so he had three conditions that he talked about. And so, of course, he's only 15 years old. You know, what can come out of a 15-year-old kid? And so he heard a voice speaking to him. And it said like this. He said, this is exactly how it's on. What is your life? It is even as a vapor of smoke that appeared for a time and faded away. Today thou shalt surely die. He said, that's how it sounded. It sounded so real and supernatural. So just a young man, so he said, I just waited to die. And you see, the devil will come to you and he'll try to convince you that the promises of God are not for you. He'll tell you, as soon as you start tithing, that's only for the Jews. Or something in the Bible. Healing is not for you. And so he'll try to convince you. He'll do it so many times. He came to Jesus. He presented Jesus scriptures. He twisted the scriptures. And so you're having this fight with the devil back and forth. And he'll get to a place where he's so convincing, like he did with Eve and like he did with many people, to convince them that this is not going to happen. What you're hoping for will never happen. And if you keep thinking about that, he'll go further. The light will continue to go darker and darker and darker until there's no more hope. That's what he does. That's the devil. He's so clever to steal from you. Because Jesus said he comes to steal and then kill and destroy. He just can't come and kill you, but it'll take some time for him to do it. He'll plant something. Oh, then you'll win a battle. Then he'll come back again. He'll do it again, you know. Until he gets to a place where you actually are not active into what you want to do. So you kind of put off your dream, but you just try to survive until you get better. You don't just go back to your dream and try to believe strongly. You just kind of cruise until you get old, maybe, perhaps. And you go look back at your life, you've never completed anything. He stole. if you can steal the years from you, if you can steal your productivity years, if you can steal something from you, and then and he goes on for the kill. He's waiting. The Bible says, Peter said he's waiting on the sidelines like a lion ready to devour you. And so we need to protect ourselves and go to the promises of God and make our faith declarations and get up every morning and say, this is going to be a fantastic day, praise God. Amen? Even if you don't feel like it, you might not think like it. You might think it's the furthest thing ever. Just make your faith declarations. Today, it's going to be an awesome day. I'm not saying it because it's actually awesome. I'm saying it because God says this is the day the Lord has made, and we'll be rejoicing in it and be glad in it. The Lord said, I'll praise the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. So we do it because God says to do it. And that's the way to beat the devil. So if you ever go to the casino and you make your confessions. No, you don't do that. So you make the confessions before you ever get there. Right? So that's not how you do it. In fact, you don't go to the casino. You know, sometimes I drive by and see some of my people there. But they say, oh, we're getting breakfast. Okay. I remember my son, you know, he took me to, he said, oh, we're going to go to, we went to the city, I think, I can't remember what city it was, in Toronto, some area, some one of those cities. We're going to go here for some breakfast. Breakfast? It's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So I went for breakfast at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. But anyway, that's another story for another time. So I was thinking, what if somebody saw me coming into this place? When I was in Calgary, a Christian friend of mine said, oh, Roma, you got to come with us. They got the most fantastic breakfast over here at the casino in right over here in Calgary. So we were there for some things. So we went there. It wasn't that great. So anyway. But anyway, let's go back to this. Can we go back to this here for a second? I only got like 7 minutes left, so. So you have to hold firmly to the promises of God. Now he's relentless. He'll come and attack you. And he'll just make you cry. You know? Go back and forth, back and forth. Then you get strong again. Then you cry again. And then you make bad confessions and say, Lord, sorry. Sorry, Lord. I shouldn't have said that. But that's real, isn't it? You're in a battle when you're going through that. You're going through a battle, and so you have to know, like, I'm in a battle. I'm here in a battle right now. I'm saying things I shouldn't be saying. I shouldn't make the right confession. And God is gracious. He'll always forgive us, you know. And so do it. It says that's why you have to. It says here to hold tightly, hold firmly, hold tightly to the without wavering the hope we affirm. And let me just go here for a second, and we'll come back to this. Here's a Bible promise for moms today. Here's Jeremiah 31, verse 17. I'm reading the Good News translation. And let's put it up to here and so that we can see for all moms. It says in here, Good News translation, Jeremiah 31, 17. And it says here, I'll read it for you then. Okay. Good News translation. So we've been working at this thing, you know. We told because a lot of stuff isn't working back there because the computer's old. Everybody say old. So when you're old, there's some things you can't do. you think about it, but I can't jump that fence. Right? Remember, you could bend over pretty quickly without getting dizzy. Huh? Or tie your shoes, you know, without any shoes on, like this, and just tie them up with one hand even. But after you get older, you can't do it anymore. Like, what's going on here, man? Things happen. Things get loose and whatever. Anyway, where were we? Do you remember what I was going to say? Huh? I know Jeremiah, but there's something else I wanted to say. But anyway. Oh, yeah, we couldn't get the versions back there. So what happened was we said, okay, we're going to get this fancy-dancy computer. It's going to do everything, make your coffee, get you up in the morning. And so we got this nice computer, but we try to transfer everything back to the old stuff, and it's still, I think, what you started to do that last week, it's still running. It's still transferring over. Anyway, we're almost there. So we'll have the good news next week. Okay? And some of the other translations. You doing okay there, Paul? Praise God. This man's praying for his church. He walks around the res every morning to pray. So how many people want to go with him? But in the spirit, I'm talking about. Just pray for Paul. Paul is a good man of God. So anyway, here is, okay, no, we can't go there. So the Good News translation says this. You must have other versions too, but anyway. There's hope for your future. Everybody say hope for my future. So here's the Israelites. They're in captivity. Some people are back home, but not everybody went over to a captivity. Some were back home still. And there's some people back there, leadership. There were still people there, but most of the people were taken in captivity and brought to, Babylon. And so God's speaking to the people over there in captivity with all their children and everybody else, and some were crying back there, some were over there. And so God sent the prophet. Everybody say prophet. And the prophet had a word of the Lord. He says, there's hope in your future. Your children will come back home. I, the Lord, have spoken. So I don't know if you like me, we're always believing. You know? And I talk to moms and dads, some of them, their children are way down there somewhere. They can't get them back to church. But we're standing. I've known moms who stand for a long, long time. And we're believing. You got to be stable. So here, another scripture. You can read that scripture. In fact, Jeremiah says, stop your weeping. Right? Don't cry anymore. He said, wipe away your tears. But there's joy coming. Right? And so we stand with the scriptures. That's all I can give you right now. I'll give you the next time. Next time we get back together, when there's a good news, my beloved. We don't hold anything against anybody. But so the devil will attack your faith. He try to convince you that God will not help you, and that there's no answer to whatever it is you're facing right now. He's so deceptive. He will remind you of all the negativity all around you. He'll put reminders of how you're feeling and show you the evil situations that you're facing. He shows you the symptoms you're having. He shows you the natural evidences and conditions or situations that you're facing. This is all contrary to what you're hoping for, what you're believing for. All natural evidence around you point out to the fact that you're not going to experience the hope that you're believing for. But you need to refuse it. Just talk to him right out loud. It's a devil. I don't believe that. I believe the Bible. Yes. Amen? So when facing incredible situations in life, go to God's word in prayer and find out first what the Bible says. What does God's word say? Notice in the Bible, the scriptures. We have to train ourselves in every situation to think like this. What does the Bible say about my situation? What is he saying about this situation right now? If I can find scripture for it, I can stand on it. First John 5:14 says, this is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. His will is his word, his promises. And the Bible says that God fulfilled every promise that he made to Israel. And Israel is a type of a Christian person, a believer. What he told Israel, he told to us. Paul said what he told Israel is an example or a type for us. So whatever, if he told them that, he told it to us. He's not a favoritism God. So we have to join sometimes with somebody else, even if you have a good friend who's believing God. And I sometimes get some messages from people who are just believing for their children and they're having a hard time, you know. And they, you know, I used to enjoy my time with my children, my daughter or whatever, and today they don't even talk to me. I said, yeah, it must be tough, you know. And I know that Mother's Day is not always the best day in the world just because it's Mother's Day. And Christmas is not always the best time of the year. It's the most wonderful time of the year. You say, no, this is a terrible time of the year. Now, sometimes it can be tough on people, right? And so we're standing with you. I want you to know that we're praying for you. And I know all our prayer partners are standing strong with you and believing God. And when we get back next time, I'm going to talk about Hezekiah and how the devil convinced him and tried to convince him that there's no hope for him. And how the devil rehearsed in his mind how he was not going to get help. But don't stand, against God. Stand against what the devil is saying. Let's go ahead and stand up as we close. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, we're so happy you come this morning. And those of you that are watching online, we thank God for you. We bless God for his goodness and mercy. Thank you, Lord.